Will you take your Bibles now and turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. I begin reading in verse number 1, and I invite you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Simeon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. We come to you, O Christ, the Lord of this church. We come to you, O Christ, the incarnate Word, the expression, radiance of God. We come to you recognizing that which we hold in our hands, which we read and study, is not only a precious and tremendous gift, but it divides. It exposes. It reveals truth and error. It reveals liars. It reveals true teachers. It protects, defends your church, proclaims the gospel that is our life. Lord Jesus, we desire to be people who look like You, who sound like You, who act like You. And we recognize the only way for Your glory to be made manifest in our lives in that way is if we are people of the Word. So I ask that You will use the preaching of Your Word as the means that Your Spirit uses to ignite within us a raging desire to know and be known by Your truth, and to model our lives by it, to be in it so the Word is in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God's Word is our life. God's Word mediates life. God's Word is life because God, who is life, is the author of life and speaks His Word. God's Word is life because the third person of the Godhead, the Spirit of God, the supernaturally directed men to write His Word. I have strung together a number of passages that speak to this. As I read these, I want the kids who want to go to Kids Connection to slip out quietly into the back. As they do that, the rest of you listen carefully and allow these passages to impress upon you how gracious, how heavy, how glorious God's Word is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters." And it was so. And God said, "Let the water under the heavens be gathered into one place." And it was so. And God said, and God said, and God said, and every time God said, it was so. When we think of power, we usually think of bombs or rockets or nuclear warheads or jets or aircraft carriers or other immense expressions of power. We have an incredible capacity to destroy. Have you ever thought of that? We have shown an amazing propensity to be able to blow things up. Isn't that what little boys do? And we just try to find this stuff we can blow up all the time. But who of us in the human race can speak? And by the sheer verbal expression of our thoughts, bring about the actual formation and creation of even the smallest of atoms? Our words can influence people into changing their thinking. Our words can influence people into changing their actions. But our words cannot create matter. Our words together in rhythm. Our words together in song. Our words together in unison can be impressive in volume, but our words all together at their loudest cannot cause molecules to form or life to generate. If we were all together to go into a cemetery and we were at the same pitch, with the same word, together, scream, life! It would only echo off the tombstones. But one word from Christ, and they're coming up. That is His authority. What sheer and raw power is set on display by God, that when He speaks, an entire galaxy is formed. A solar system is set in motion. A star burns. An earth spins and rotates and tilts. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. And the Lord said to Moses, the Lord said to Joshua, the Lord said to Gideon, the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel through His Word. The Word of the Lord came to Elijah. The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is pure. The precepts of the Lord is right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The rules of the Lord are true. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to Hosea, to Joel, to Jonah, to Micah, to Zephaniah, to Haggai, to Zechariah, and by Malachi. Amos, Obadiah, Nahum all wrote, thus says the Lord. And we have the word of the prophets, and you will do well to pay attention to it. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of the Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The unfolding of your word gives light. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living, enduring Word of God. Sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, I give you this charge. Preach the word, for all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. This is the word that was preached to you. And the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. My aim in this message is to make you aware of the obvious necessity of being people of the Word. To show you that The word is for your joyful communion with God. It is for your joy. It is for the health of God's people. My aim is also to motivate you to be deliberate in 2010 in your personal reading and study of the Word, and to be deliberate in your corporate hearing of the Word, to guard Sundays, because there is nothing greater than for us to be the people of God, to be people of the Word, to hear the Word, to respond to the Word. And my aim is to encourage you to minister the Word of God to each other through enriching conversations, edifying discussions, and Scripture-driven prayers. I think many of you are familiar with the fact that the book of 2 Timothy is Paul's last will and testament. And what he says in that last will and testament to Timothy, from his final words, Timothy, preach the word. 2 Peter is also a last will and testament. It's basically the last will and testament of Peter. And what does he say? How does he begin this book? It's the same thing. He is calling believers. Do you know what you have? Do you see what has been entrusted into you? And I also find it just very consistent that Christ, the night before he died, prays for us. And what does he pray? He prays to the Father and he says, God, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And brothers and sisters, my cry to God for you and my appeal to you is in harmony with the Lord of this church. It is in harmony with Peter and Paul and the cry that they made. We have a sacred and joyful obligation to hear the prayer of our Savior, the appeal of His apostles, to treasure and trust the Word through intentional reading and hearing and application. And I want you to see that the advancing of God's glory in His church is the very hub of which all other spokes, all the spokes of life, radiate from. Church is not one of the slots in your life. You have to carve out time for, because there's other things that are going on. No, God's glory in His people is the defining reason for our existence as believers. And God advances His glory in our lives by means of His Word, because God's Word is the fountain of your joy. And I want to do a better job this year in helping you understand that God's glory in the church and your authentic joy are inseparable. And when I pray for your joy, and I do, I pray for your joy as the people of God. I am praying for the glory of God in your life and in this church. And as I'm praying for the glory of God in this church, I'm praying for your joy. They go together. And when I preach for your joy, I'm preaching for the glory of God in this church. Your joy in Christ, your joy in the gospel, your joy in your rescue, in your redemption, in your justification, in your adoption, in your standing in and life together as a citizen in the eternal, unstoppable, indomitable kingdom of Christ because of the sin-destroying, serpent-crushing, death-denying, all-sufficient work of our Redeemer and King on the cross is the ground and eternal spring of our joy that can never be taken away from you. The waters of joy and worship will forever flow from this fountain. We will for all eternity go to that fountain and have our joy just increase. I want you to see that now. I want you to taste that now. I want you to reflect that now. You see, when we treasure Christ above all, when we savor the gospel and listen to the Spirit's voice who tells us to cry out to our Abba, to our God, He receives glory. When we turn away from the broken pitchers of this world that can't hand, that they can't handle or hold the water, and come to the fountain of God for satisfaction of our thirsty souls, our God is glorified. You cannot choose between your glory, between His glory and your joy. They go together. And God's Word is the means by which they are pursued in your life and enjoyed in the church. The Word of God is the most important treasure in your life. And our text reveals in verse 3 that God's Word is absolutely sufficient. Absolutely sufficient. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. These promises that He has given to us are what we need. They are sufficient for this life that we live. Notice in verse 4, he says, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Partake is the idea of to participate in through the Word. You can experience some of the qualities of God. I want you to understand how indispensable the Word is. Because God's Word drives our communion with Him. You can learn to be merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and compassionate. You can learn to do that. Even if it's not your basic personality, if it's not your nature. If you're a follower of Christ, it is your new nature. And the Word will grow you in that. As you, by means of instruction and encouragement from the Word of God, learn to live as Christ did and as God is, your experiential common ground will start to catch up with your positional standing in Him. And that, brothers and sisters, will give you a taste of glory. In glory, all that we do will perfectly reflect all that we are. And we're not there yet. In glory, all that we do will perfectly reflect all that we are. Now, what you are right now in Christ is complete. But what you and I do hasn't caught up with that yet. And that frustrates us. And it hurts us. And we hurt others because of that. One day that won't be the case. But we can grow. And God has chosen to reveal Himself primarily through His Word. So spending time in His Word is an expression of our dependency upon God. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied, when we are most dependent upon Him. And so therefore, I want you to understand that the reading of His Word, the study of His Word, the exposure, the hearing of His Word is a means by which we aim to glorify God by expressing our need of His light and truth and direction. Because if I don't have His Word, I will depend upon my own ideas and insight and wisdom. And that is foolishness. I have to have His. Nothing is more satisfying to our souls than heart-to-heart communication. We long for this. We long to be known and to be known at that level. And as we participate in His divine nature, meaning as we more and more experience His attributes in our lives, our understanding of His heart, our walk with Him, changes from being intellectual to personal. Oh, beloved, that's what He longs for. Not to be known simply as a topic in a book, but your dad, your brother, your priest, your Savior, your King, your friend. Verses 5 through 8, and I have time to unpack it all as it needs to be, but the idea there is that God's Word drives your ongoing effectual growth. I want you to grow this year. I want you to flourish as a follower of Jesus Christ. I desire for God's nature to be revealed in your life, for the person of Christ to be set on display in you. The process of looking more and more like Jesus is what it means to grow as a believer. Growing to be more like Christ is the logical and necessary result of, verse 4, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. Peter says, okay, this is what's happened to you when you come to faith in Christ. You've escaped from that. Now, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. And he goes on to describe, here are the things that we are to pursue, because it puts Christ on display. If you get into the Word will get into you, and then it'll come out in ways that'll look like Jesus. Our growth and maturity as the people of God results in the glory of God being spread abroad more and more. And as we grow in Christ, He is made more famous. I was not born in the South, but I have roots that go to the South. I spent several years in the Deep South, where I did, amongst other things, my share of eating grits. How many of you have never eaten grits? Will you raise your hand? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Quite honestly, you're not missing a thing. When you ask people, what do grits taste like? They just kind of look at you. Because they don't really have a taste. It's like if you took cardboard and water and put it in the blender and put it on puree for 10 minutes, that's kind of the consistency of grits. And it might taste about like that too. I mean, there's just nothing there. Grits taste like what you put on them. So when I eat grits, I put butter and sugar on them. So the grits I eat taste buttery and sweet. Whatever you put on your grits, that's what it... Grits are acted upon and they conform to that which is put upon them. Now salt is quite a bit different than grits. When you put salt on something, salt changes its environment. Salt does not conform to what it touches. What it touches conforms to salt. And I think you know where I'm going with this. The church is not called to be grits. Good thing, huh? There's a reason why Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are to impact everything you come in contact with. Now, beloved, we cannot do that apart from the ongoing ministry of the Word in our lives. And just as God's Word is the means that brings faith, God's Word is the means that fuels growth. And I'm so desirous of you to be in love with, to be dependent on, filled with the Scriptures. If I had time, I would speak to verses 9 through 11 that address how God's Word drives our confidence and security. We live in such a fearful world. And family, I am so excited about that opportunity because of the presence of the Word of God in your life. I want to speak to the women for just a moment. My desire for the women of this church is for every woman to be a woman of the Word. I am so privileged to pastor women in this church who are thrilled to study theology. That just jazzes me so much to teach a class on systematic theology and see women come in with Wayne Grudem under their arms. That excites me, thrills me. I'm so glad for that. Because a woman of the Word is confident in Christ. She's unshakable in crisis. She's hopeful in trial. She's joyful in her disposition. She's helpful in her relationships. She is a sprinkling system of love that sprays on everyone with mercy. And I'm grateful that I get to pastor you, because there are so many of you who get it, and it shows. Your faces radiate with joy. And my desire, women, is that as your souls run after Christ, that you will look to your right and to your left there on the road, and you see the men of this church whose humility and truthfulness and servant spirit and unflappable confidence and faithful leadership and integrity and consistency provide you with such an atmosphere of safety and security and encouragement that the men of the church and the men in your lives are just saying to you shoulder to shoulder, keep running. Let's run together. He's worthy of our study. He is worthy of our pursuit. Because my desire, men, for every one of you in this church, is that you have a depth of insight that is seen in a life of faithful consistency, unshakable character, humility, follow through. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. And then your word-driven joy and love is a gift of infinite value to the body of Christ and your family. Yet the Word reveals that we're not perfect. It teaches us to accept responsibility, to not shift the blame, and not to lie. As people of the Word, we are to be people of our Word. Because the God who cannot lie, who makes promises and keeps them, calls us to follow Him. God's Word, as we see in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, will guard the flock against false teachers. And they will come. I'll not take time to expand on that this morning. I've given you reasons why it's imperative that we are people of the Word. What I want you to do, if you haven't already, is to make a plan and stick with it.
A resource that I have found that is very, very simple to help you with that is actually a website that we have. I think I have it also in the bulletin for you. This website provides 7 different reading plans, all with features that are very, very helpful. If you do not have internet access, we have printed out Bible reading plans for you. They are available at guest services. Let me just quickly give to you several ideas. If you don't have a plan, there are some simple ones to get you started. If you have not made it a regular habit of being in the Word, let me just encourage you to start this way. Today is January 10. If you would take Proverbs 10 and read that today, and on the 11th read Proverbs 11, and on the 12th read Proverbs 12, and you did that every day for a month, the end of a month you would have read through the book of Proverbs, which is full of wisdom for your soul. Today is January 10th. If you multiply that by 5, you come up with the number 50. So if you would read an equivalent of 5 Psalms per day, on the first day of the month, you read 1 through 5, second day, 6 through 10, and etc. That means today you would read Psalms 46 through 50. At the end of the month, you would have read through the Psalms. Now, some of you, if you did that this year, every month you read through the Psalms, every month you read through the Proverbs, oh my goodness, that'll have a profound impact in your life. One of the things that I did for several years is I did that kind of a process through the New Testament. If you read the book of Philippians from beginning to end in one setting at an average rate of reading, it will take you 8 minutes to read the book of Philippians. If you took 8 minutes and you read Philippians every day for a month, you will never forget the book of Philippians. If you did the book of Ephesians, which is a tad longer, even if you divided it up into chapters 1, 2, and 3, every day you just read those chapters, 1 through 3, and then the next month you read chapters 4, 5, and 6, and in 2 months you will have absorbed the book of Ephesians. You can do that with Colossians. Longer books like Matthew's Gospel, 28 chapters. If you took chapters 1 through 7 one month, every day you read 7 chapters. And then in the second month, every day you read chapters 8 through 14, etc. In 4 months, you would have read through Matthew's Gospel 31 times. You'll never forget Matthew's Gospel and the effect of seeing and hearing the conversations of Christ and the actions of Christ. Remarkable. I don't care what plan you get. Make a plan and stick with it. And making a plan involves picking a time and a place. So I want to ask you right now, when and where are you going to do this? One of the things I'm working on, don't have it figured out totally yet, Kathy will say to me, honey, can you take care of this? And I'll say, yeah, I'll get to that. I have learned that's not what she wants to hear. That means I've committed I haven't said when. I got a lot of years left in my life, you know what I mean? It could be. If I say, I'm going to do that at this time. I mean, you know, that's the same thing here. When are you going to do this? Pick a time. Pick a place. Make it matter. You know what? Because it does. Finally, oh, share the joy. Share the joy of the Word. And here's what I mean by that, beloved. Use the Word as the means by which you communicate with God. That God speaks to us through His Word. So share the joy of what you learn back to God in prayer. Let the Bible influence your prayers. As you read the Word, God brings up topics that you need to talk to Him about. There for that reason. The Word is not information, period. It is the stuff of life to talk with the giver of life about. Have you ever tried to play ping pong by yourself? It doesn't work well, does it? All right, God has given you His Word. What are you expected to do? Give it back. Talk back. That's how the conversation goes. If your Bible reading is weak, your prayer life is probably non-existent. So let the Bible drive your prayers. Share the joy with others in communication. Make it a daily practice to share with others what you read. Email it, Facebook it, talk it. Conversations about God's Word need to be natural. They need to be normal. They need to be constant amongst the people of God. Before you say to somebody, "Hey, how about those Pistons?" Okay, isn't that depressing? All right. Or Lions, we could go on, couldn't we? And I'm not going to do that. But what better topics of conversation? You know, the world can have those conversations. What better topics for us to say, "You know what, let me just share with you something that I read this week. Would you do that?" Oh man, I've never done that before. We need to get comfortable at doing that with each other. Small groups, please, please encourage this kind of conversation as part of your gathering. What did you learn from the Word this week? And when somebody shares, please encourage them. And finally, share the joy with the church in worship. Worship is answering the call of God, mediated through His Word, in order to gather His people so they as one can respond to Him in a manner that is fitting for who He is. Worship is singing the Word. Worship is praying the Word. Worship is reading the Word. Worship is preaching the Word. Worship is hearing the Word. Worship is speaking to one another the Word and responding to one another and responding to the Word, even as we confess our sins and we are reminded of the gospel and we reenact the gospel by observing the Lord's table and believers' baptism. And what reading of the Word will do through the week, it'll increase your appetite and your hunger for worship with the church on Sunday. A church full of people who are full of the Word will change the world. So, beloved, for 2010, let's pass the salt, all right? Will you stand with me? And ask you to talk to the Lord right now about this. Tell Him, I encourage you to tell Him right now what His Word means to you. If you are daily time in the Word is weak, non-existent, inconsistent, will you ask God right now for help? So that what you do reflects what you believe. I ask you, I charge you, I call upon you as my flock, my beloved flock, to be in the Word daily, to make a plan, if you need encouragement and accountability with somebody, ask for that with another brother or sister, and gladly help each other. I want to encourage you because I am out for your joy. I will seek to do every God-honoring thing to pursue it. This is foundational. Lord Jesus, thank you. You are out for our joy. May your goodness and mercy track us down, follow us. You show us over and over your promises that remind us this is how much you love us. Oh, I ask that this year that we as a people flourish in joy. There's such evidence of your grace and mercy upon our lives because of the desire of our hearts to live in and be saturated by your truth. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray.